warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with my bud David Niles in the studio.
The studio.
Dave, this is 41.
41.
I wanted to make sure that I had it right, because last time we couldn't remember if it was 39 or episode
39
or
40. But we got there.
But it's 40. And it's going to be a great episode, guys. If you haven't followed us on Facebook or any of our social media, we have a very special guest this show, which is going to be really exciting.
That's right.
Introduce?
Yeah.
I'll let you.
Oh,
introduce.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the opportunity.
We're going to be having a bon ton, tout ton time with our man Carlo Broussard
from Catholic Answers.
From Catholic Answers, yeah. And if you don't know what I just said, I'm pretty sure it means good time all the time. Is that right, Carlo?
That's right, brother. You got it right,
right,
David.
That would have been super awkward.
As we would say in Louisiana, ça c'est bon, chat. That's really good.
Well, Carlo, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, you're welcome, man. It's my honor. I'm blessed. It's my pleasure. I'm so grateful to be on with you guys. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And so before we really get going, we have to give a shout-out to a mutual friend that Carlo and I have, Adam Conk from Louisiana.
Right.
He is a buddy of – actually, Carlo's probably one of his best friends, and I had the pleasure of meeting him at EWTN Radio Conference a couple years ago. Great guy, stand-up guy. Great family man and a great witness to our faith. So I know that I had to give some due diligence out there.
He's
and make
the general
sure that Adam
manager of Christ Our King Radio in Lafayette.
That's right. And actually,
Catholic
our show
radio
is
in Acadiana.
Yeah, and our show is actually playing there now, thanks to him.
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
Thanks to him.
So
blessed be God.
Yeah. So shout out to you, bud. Thank you for all the work that you do down there. I know you are constantly working and working very hard. So we appreciate you. So, Carlo, I know that you're a busy man. You have a lot of things going on. So we'll kind of run through what we do on the Catholic Man Show real quick to make sure that everybody knows if this is their first time listening.
Right. Yeah. So here's what we do. We do three things here on the Catholic Man Show. The first thing we do, which we will get to expediently, is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage of quality and goodness.
That's right.
The second thing we do is we highlight a man gear of some kind. This would be something that any man should have in his daily life. I think Carlo, he's got the man gear on lockdown today. He's pretty excited about it. Also, you should be aware, before I go on to the third thing we do, that we are attempting to video record this episode.
Yes.
You know, we're trying something for the first time, so hopefully it works.
Yeah.
God willing, we will have a video to share with you.
That's right.
So we do the man beverage, man gear, and then the third thing we do is we have what some call to be the most manly conversation you've ever heard in your life, where we highlight virtue, we highlight manhood, we flex our muscles, and we have a good time.
That's right.
So that's the Catholic Man Show.
The world is thirsting for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be that light. So that's what we do every episode. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the man beverage.
Okay, because like you said, the world is thirsting for Jesus Christ and good whiskey, I think.
Did you like how I set that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I loved it.
Thank
I saw
you.
Where you were going.
Thank you.
You teed it up for me.
You're welcome.
Okay, so today our man beverage is one of those that I saw it. When it came to me, it's just one of those, like, how have we gone 41 episodes without talking about this? This bourbon has been it's like one of my favorite bourbons for as long as I can remember, which is Maker's Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Maker's Mark It's
a great staple.
Yeah, and its nickname is Mother's Milk, just because it's so fantastic. Today, we'll be drinking the Maker's 46, which is basically
It would have been perfect if this was episode 46.
Oh, dang. Oh, well. Not everything can be line up perfect. But the 46 is sort of their high-end version, although it's not a high-end price tag. So
right.
It's just a really good one to have around.
It's a great one for friends, right? So if you have a bunch of buddies over, you have a campfire or something going on in the backyard.
Totally.
This would be a great one to bust out because it's enjoyable and everybody enjoys a nice bourbon.
Right, and you can't go wrong with the original Maker's Mark either.
Right.
I mean they're both solid. So let's go ahead and.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
So the Maker's Mark bourbon. One of the things that makes it not totally unique, because I'm sure there are other bourbons out here who do this, but they use a red wheat to brew with.
Or distill with?
Yeah, in the process somewhere.
Right.
I've actually never made bourbon, so I'm not exactly sure how it fits in. But the red wheat is a sweeter wheat, which gives it the more... Well, first of all, you can tell by the color.
Right, it's darker.
It's more amber. It's mm-hmm. almost a red, like a honey color.
Yeah.
And the taste is similar to that as well.
So, Carlo, for those who may be just listening for the first time, the reason why we drink on the show, it's really funny to tell people that we drink on the show because we get a lot of crazy reactions immediately,
sure.
right?
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, there's something good. You know, drinking is not inherently evil, and there's something
Correct.
Good about enjoying the finer things in life that God has provided to us in the virtue of moderation.
Amen.
And Dave and I talk about it all the time that it's probably a lot easier to exercise the virtue of moderation besides just talking about it. And in a world that like is pushing nothing but excess.
Right.
Excess.
There you go.
It may have been a providential slip of the tongue.
Then maybe so. But yeah, that is for sure. But, you know, it's good to have somebody who is promoting moderation, and that's why we do
sure.
it.
Sure. Amen. Yes, as you mentioned, Adam, nothing inherently wrong with partaking of the substance alcoholic beverages. I mean, Jesus, our Lord himself, partook of wine. I mean, he changed 6 jars full of water to the brim to wine at a wedding in John chapter 2 through the intercession of his blessed mother.
Right. Exactly.
So Jesus was all about drinking good wine and partaking of those beverages so much that many perceived him as a drunkard.
Yeah.
If you recall in Matthew chapter 11, I think right around verse 9, Jesus is responding and talking with his disciples and saying how many are calling him a drunkard, right? Mm-hmm. And he eats with tax collectors and sinners. So you have to ask the question, well, if they were calling him a drunkard, why is that? Wouldn't that presuppose or imply that he's partaking of alcoholic beverages in such a way that people would look at him and perceive him to be a drunkard? Now, obviously, we know Jesus can't sin, so he wasn't abusing the beverages overindulging himself in alcoholic beverages, but indeed he was partaking of them with the tax collectors and the sinners, not for the sake of condoning their sins, but for the sake of evangelizing them. And this is one of the things, guys, we'll get into, I'm sure, in our show today, is the importance of using the goods of this earth and ordering them by reason to higher goods, you see?
Mm-hmm. Right.
As you guys, right now, you've partaken of the substance of the earth and things that have been cultivated, right? For the purpose of what? For the purpose of higher goods, namely friendship, brotherhood. And that's what it's all about. That's where drinking the alcoholic beverage can bring guys together, not just for the sake of getting drunk or just for the sake of fun, but as you're witnessing to, for the sake of uniting in Christ as spiritual brothers, strengthening each other in the Lord and ordering it to the ultimate end of the heavenly kingdom, because we need the brotherhood on the journey of faith. Amen?
Preach
Amen.
It, brother. Preach it, brother.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the good.
And Jesus, he clearly liked the good stuff. because when they took it to the attendant of the wedding, they're like, hey, you saved the best wine for right now. It's like Jesus is like, all right, if I'm going to make some wine, it's going to be like a nice Chianti, or, you know, it's going to be... It's not going to be any $12 bottle.
And gave them the best.
Yeah, right? That's right.
That's right.
I think one of the funniest lines in the Bible is after Pentecost, when the apostles go out and they're, you know, speaking in tongues, doing all these things, and some people accuse them of being drunk, and they're like, "Hey, we're not drunk. It's only like 9 o'clock in the morning." You know.
And what's the implication of that, right? Well, it's, you know, it's 6 p.m. Well, who knows, right?
Well, their response wasn't, "We haven't been drinking." It was, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You
know? Which, yeah, it's amazing. They were getting high on the spirit. Right?
That's right. Right. That's Jesus, totally. Right?
I got Jesus, brother.
Yeah.
So if you've never tried Maker's Mark before, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it has, of bourbon, it holds the most sentimental value to me just because it's so good. I think really Maker's Mark was one of the first whiskeys I tried that I said, you know what? I think I could drink that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is years and years and years ago before I was really a man. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying?
So, yeah.
I think so. For whatever reason, it holds a lot of sentimental value.
Yeah. So we're here sitting here. We're talking with Carlo Broussard. We are going to be right back with the man gear. We're going to talk about the man gear that we don't even know about. Carlo is going to inform us what the man gear is this week. So stay tuned. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. In studio with Adam Minahan, we have our friend Carlo Broussard on the episode with us. He's joining us from his expansive estate in California.
So, Carlo, I gotta jump into something before we get into the man gear, which is normally the second segment. I just got to ask you a couple questions about Catholic answers in general.
Sure, like, man. Fire away.
You are just so smooth when you get, you know, phone calls coming in, and I just like, I could just sit there and be thinking, and I put myself in that situation sometimes, and even when I know the answer, like when I'm talking and sure. trying to evangelize with people and talking about the faith, there's so many times where it's like, I know the answer, I've studied this
right.
before, but
yeah.
I can't recall it for whatever reason. How
sure.
is it that, you don't know these questions that are coming in on Catholic Answers Live, yet you're just on top of it, like. You're a Jimmy Akin protege kind of guy. How does it work?
Not quite, brother. Like, I got a long ways to go.
How do you do it? Like, so is there ever a time whenever you're listening to a caller and you read it on your screen right before they start talking, you're like, how am I going to answer this?
Yeah, sure. Many a times, guys. Sometimes I'll be frank with you. Well, first of all, we do get somewhat of a heads up. So I'm going to
sure.
reveal the secret.
Right.
To all of your listeners, we do get a heads up to some degree. However, there are some times when, you know, while you're answering a question, you don't have time to look at the whiteboard or the Google Doc or whatever from the call screener in order to inform you of what's coming up next. So sometimes mm-hmm. you're flying blind,
yeah.
But sometimes you kind of have a heads up of what's coming up. And sometimes, you know, if it's just a question that's off the wall, that there is no possible way that I have any information on whatsoever, then the call screener will redirect the caller to our apologist hotline, right?
I see.
Our apologist line, and they
right.
can call myself. We have two on staff apologists, two women who work full time at Catholic Answers, Peggy Fry and Michelle Arnold, and they take calls and emails all day long, as well as Father Vincent Serpa.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trent Horn as well takes calls and emails sometimes that get funneled in through the apologist line. But the majority of the times, you know, you kind of get a heads up of what's coming up. You know, you get like a sentence mm-hmm. of what a general idea of what the question might be about. and then you kind of formulate your thoughts on the spot, you know, which is very interesting. As I was telling you guys before we started the podcast, you know, for me, it's all grace, guys, because I'm telling you, if you were to walk in my shoes 24 hours a day, apart from the radio and apart from speaking and apart from interviews, and you would hear me speak and how much I stutter and I can't get words out my head and I say words wrong because of my Cajun background, right? Coming to being raised in southern Louisiana. It's crazy at how the answers come out sometimes and how I'm able to articulate my thoughts and construct sentences on the spot when I can't even do it when I'm writing a paper or an article, you know.
I feel you,
so
man.
It's a fun experience because it's all grace, man. It's just all God. And here I am, this lowly Cajun boy, you know, who was not an intellectual kind of guy growing up. I mean, when I was introduced to apologetics for the first time through Tim Staples' conversion story when I was like 17 and a half, I don't know why that appealed to me, because I didn't read an entire book in my entire life growing up in Louisiana until I started studying theology, because I was in the bars from 13 years on playing Cajun music in the nightclubs and the bars. That's all I did. I never read. I was never an intellectual kind of guy, but when I was introduced to apologetics, there was something appealing to me, and it was pedal to the metal from then on, brother.
That is awesome. So, I mean, you're the newest apologist that Catholic Answers has brought on. Real quick, you know, maybe in 30, 45 seconds, tell us how it was adapting and being there and like what you do on a daily basis. I mean, obviously, we hear you like once a week.
Sure.
But, you know, what is it like working at Catholic Answers?
Yeah, well, it's still surreal. Let me tell you something. I got to pinch myself every time I'm sitting down in that office or walking through the halls at 2020 Gillespie Way, man, because this is a dream come true for me. I set out with this dream to work with my mentor and hero, Tim Staples, 16 years ago when I first saw him, and I said, I'm going to do what he does.
Uh-huh.
And
that
I pestered
awesome.
The heck out of him, you know. And he kept me on the rope and kind of pulled me along at a distance, and finally this dream came true. So when I get to walk down the hallway and go sit in his office, and we go from talking MMA fighting to metaphysics, man, it's like surreal. It's unbelievable. You know, that's what we talk about. Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, we call it the Rocky Marciano School of Apologetics. You know, it's the gym. So I'll email Tim Staples and say, hey, is the gym open? He says, come on in. And so when we finish the training, I'll say, thanks for the sparring session. So, but it's a great joy. So my daily activities, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm working on blogs. Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays, I'm working on my book. And in between those major writing projects, I'm answering questions via email and via phone that come in, as well as writing scripts for my new Ready Reasons videos that we're rolling out for Catholic Answers. I type out scripts for my 60-second Ready Reasons for radio spots, as well as scripts for talks and future DVD products, etc. So constantly writing, man. Constantly asking the Lord to flood those ideas so I can actually have something to write about.
Well, hey, when you're done with those 60-second spots, we run the Catholic radio station here in Tulsa, so send them to us. And
we'll run them for
you.
We'll make sure
to
get them on the air.
Right now, we actually have 35 produced already.
Oh,
and
wow.
Many Catholic stations are airing them already. So I'll be sure to, after the podcast here this evening, I'll be sure to send you the link to where you can download all of the 35 files.
Perfect.
All right, so we need to get to the man gear.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a first on the Catholic Man Show that both Dave and I have absolutely no idea what the man gear is going to be coming in. So, Carlo, go for it, man.
Okay, so it's the famous... Okay, so first of all, I love lifting weights. I love getting into the gym and throwing some weights around,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's the famous... I don't know if you can see on the Skype video here. It's the lift hard, pray hard, hashtag new asceticism from Jared Zimmer. I don't know if y'all are familiar with it yet, but he produced these T-shirts, lift hard, pray hard. So that's the manly gear for
our
listeners today, man.
I saw a meme on the internet. Well, one of our friends of the show posted a meme.
That's right.
It had this priest. He had kind of like a, you know, mean look on his face, and it said, "Bro, do you even lift his name on high?"
Amen.
I thought it was awesome.
It was Joe Q. You know Joe Q. He comes to the Catholic Answers quite a bit.
Okay.
Anyway.
If you don't know him now,
you will
hear
pretty
soon. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna the name doesn't actually ring a bell for some reason, but maybe if I saw his face, I would recognize him.
I'm sure.
Yeah. The new asceticism. I love the idea. In fact, a long time ago, when I had my initial conversion to the Lord, and I started studying theology and falling in love with the Lord, I remember I used to go to the gym and work out. And like, you know, the lactic acid is building up and the biceps are bulging, you know, and
right.
you're lifting the weights. And I used to offer up the pain. I used to say, hey, Lord, I'm not going to waste this pain for anything, man. I'm going to offer it up to you for the glory of God, you know.
Absolutely.
And, so it's a great idea to get into the gym, to lift those weights, you know, to exercise. Not for vanity's sake. Once again, getting back to that virtue of moderation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're practicing moderation and partaking of the goodness of alcohol. When I get into the gym, I have to work on moderation and ward off those temptations of vanity, but mm-hmm. to work out for the sake of taking care of the body mm-hmm. in order that I may better be, first of all, a better son of the Father, a better husband, and a better father. Because I tell you, when I wasn't working out, I had no energy to play with my kids and to give my kids the attention that they needed.
Yeah.
But when I started getting back to the gym, it created energy. I was able to have the energy that I need to be present to my kids, to keep up with them, right?
It's so funny you say that.
And to be able to engage with them in a physical way.
Yeah, when I first, I played football through high school, and, you know, before I started playing in high school, my dad was teaching me how to lift weights. You know, it's kind of this father-son bonding time, right? When the son finally gets old enough to where the dad gets to take him into the gym and, you know, show him what it really is like to, you know, even when you don't want to do one more curl, to do one more, you know,
yeah.
and even when you can't get quite that bench press up, you know, to him spotting you and do one more anyway. And he
yeah.
would always tell me, you know, especially like when we were doing shoulder day, this is like what he would always tell me is like, remember, this pain is nothing like when Jesus was carrying the cross.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I've thought about that.
Wow.
You know, that moment where you just, yeah, you feel like my muscles are worn out.
I can't
like,
go any
I
longer.
I can't take, I'm sure Jesus felt that way
over
when he was
over
carrying that
again.
Cross. You know what I'm saying?
And
yeah.
You push hard and you realize that you actually have more in you than what you think
mm-hmm.
to finish that last rep or the last two or three reps to finish
yeah.
that set. You know, and there's so many parallels to the spiritual life and the lessons that we can learn in the gym and throwing those weights around. And it just helps us psychologically, you know, and makes us feel better so that we can pray better, you know, and,
yeah.
and engage in apostolic endeavors in a more efficient way and to keep our mind focused on the Lord.
Yeah, for instance, if you have someone spotting you and you're doing a bench press, you feel like when you wear out, there's no way I'm going to get this bar up. But if the person spotting you just takes a yeah. pinky finger and helps,
yeah.
you know, it's like, so it's kind of that brotherhood, you know, strengthening,
Amen.
Even just a little help from your brother
sure.
enables you to do so much more. Another thing, I actually work out with, well, I see his dad at the gym a lot, and he got me started doing reps of 33. So one rep for each year Jesus walked this earth. and so like I started doing that throughout my workouts here and there.
Yeah, I would assume that you can't do 33 reps with 600 pounds
no,
on
no,
straight
no.
or like Jared Zimmerer when he's deadlifting.
No. So guys, stay tuned because when we get back, we're going to have a super manly discussion. In fact, on social media I said we may need two warnings this week.
We better do it just to be safe.
So anyway, though, stay tuned. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And our glass is filled with Maker's Mark today. That is our man beverage.
Maker's Mark 46.
46, that is correct. We just got done talking a little bit about the importance of lifting and the spiritual side of lifting.
And the movement.
Yes, and the movement that Carla was talking
about. Lift hard,
about.
Pray hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag.
The new asceticism.
New asceticism.
Hashtag new asceticism.
There we go. And we're talking with our buddy Carlo Brissard from Catholic Answers Live. And Carlo, you have a lot of things in the work. Right during the break, you were telling us about everything that you have going on, but tell us how we can get in contact with you and some of the projects you have coming up.
Yeah, well, if your listeners are interested in bringing me out to speak at their event, whether it be for their life team, high school, you know, their parish, a conference, or even if it's their second grade communion class, I'd be more than happy to speak. And they can reach me at catholic.com. You go to the website, they have a seminars tab, and they can either call us at Catholic Answers or submit, fill out the online form, submit it for request for me as a speaker. And then they can also visit me at my website, carlobrusor.com. All of the videos that we produce of myself at Catholic Answers, all of the articles that I write, all of the radio shows that we have archived at catholic.com for me specifically, or posted at carlobrusor.com, and they can have access free for all these free resources there. So, yeah, so either my website, carlobrusor.com, catholic.com, they can also follow me on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and then I have a YouTube channel as well.
So for those who are spellingly challenged like myself, Carlo Brusard is K-A-R-L-O-B-R-O-U-S-S-A-R-D.
There we go. That is correct. Yeah, I probably should have gotten a easier domain name.
Well, you know,
but I gotta keep.
You gotta work
name,
with what you
right?
got. You know.
That's right.
So, Dave, I'll let you introduce the topic.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to introduce the topic, but this is really Carlo.
Really tee it up.
Oh
Carlo.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do here. Yeah. So, this is one of, in fact, this is one of Carlo's speaking topics. We're not gonna
that's
get
right.
to go through it all today. So if this podcast interests you, go to catholic.com, carlobrusard.com, and have him come out and deliver this the full version of this talk to your parish.
It'd be a manly thing to do.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yep. But I think we should give another warning.
Okay.
So warning, the Catholic Man Show involves high levels of manliness. If you are someone who's susceptible to high levels of manliness, please stop listening to this podcast. Because it could be seriously harmful to your health. If at any time you feel like you might lose consciousness,
dizzy, light,
anything
sweating.
Like that, please turn the volume down at least a little bit and mm-hmm. consult your medical professional.
Okay, you cannot sue us.
Right, okay. So we're talking about the four levels of manliness. I got to be
manhood.
Honest, I didn't even know there were four levels. You know, but there are. Turns out there are.
Sure enough. So Carlo, I'll let you kind of lay it out for us, and then we can kind of
sure.
talk about it.
Yeah, well, the four levels of manhood basically are based on the four levels of happiness, which have been elucidated and expounded upon by my great friend, former mentor and colleague, Father Robert Spitzer, founder and president of the Majus Center. I worked with Father Robert Spitzer for 2.5 years prior to coming on board with Catholic Answers, and Father Spitzer is very well known for his project and his work on the four levels of happiness. So the four levels of manhood are based on those four levels of happiness, which basically are formulated based on fundamental desires that we have as human beings. The satisfaction of some of these desires constituting different kinds of happiness. And these kinds of happiness can be strategically formulated into four levels of happiness. So the four levels of manhood are based on those four levels of happiness. Whatever level of happiness we identify ourselves with as men will constitute what level of manliness or what level of manhood we're at. So basically, the four levels of manhood are as follows. Number one, level one, is the man of pleasure and possession. So it has to do with sensory pleasure, right? Food, drink, sex. It has to do with material goods, possessing things. This arises from our base animal nature, right? We desire food, drink, and sex, so the satisfaction of those desires is going to bring some sort of satisfaction. We desire material goods for comfort and security. For us as men, that might take the form of cigars and whiskey and whatever it might be, boats and guns or whatever, right?
Sure.
So that's the level one, the man of pleasure and possession. Now, keep in mind that when I'm defining these levels, there are certain aspects of the levels that are neutral. They're not evil in and of themselves. But if we define our manliness in those terms, making these things an end in and of themselves, then that's going to constitute that level of manhood. So level one is the man who's going to identify himself, identify his happiness only in sensory pleasure, only in getting the material stuff, right? Level two is the man of ego comparative advantage, right? Now, that's a mouthful. Ego is just Latin for I, okay? Comparative advantage. I want to be better than you. It's as simple as that. We all have this fundamental drive in us, guys, right? I'm sure you, all of our listeners out there will affirm this. We want to have some sort of comparative advantage. We want to take that outside world and bring it under the influence of the inner world, of myself, my self-consciousness, right? So there's this drive of competition and wanting to be better. Who's got more popularity, more esteem, more power? The bigger biceps, right? Who's got the fatter checkbook, the better clothes, the better house, you name it, right? So the man who identifies his happiness, identifies his manliness in the terms of achievement, success, esteem, popularity, and he makes those things an end in and of itself, then that constitutes level two manhood. And it's a level two because, you know, it's a little bit deeper satisfaction than the base, the satisfaction of the base desires of level one, pleasure, material goods.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There, because in level two, when you're succeeding in life, you're having to use your higher powers of intellect and will, as opposed to just, you know, the base sensory pleasure, so the desires of the senses and whatnot, right, of the body. So that's level two, ego comparative advantage. Now, the level three man is the man of contribution and service. Because no man, as Father Spitzer used to say, wants to be, you know, lying on his deathbed and ask the question, what is the difference between your life and that of a rock? And have to answer, nothing. No man wants to have to answer that question in such a way. We all have a fundamental desire to contribute to the good outside of ourselves, to leave a legacy, right?
Yeah.
To make some sort of positive difference outside of ourselves. So there's this drive, this fundamental desire for ego out as opposed to only ego in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the man who's going to define his manliness in terms of contribution and service, leaving a legacy, making a positive difference outside of ourselves, well, that's the man of contribution and service. Finally, we have the level four man, the man of the eternal perspective, right?
Mm.
We all have these fundamental desires within us as human beings for perfect knowledge or truth, perfect love, perfect goodness or justice, perfect beauty, and perfect perfect knowledge, perfect goodness, perfect love, perfect beauty, and the perfect sense of home, like being in totality, in harmony with the totality of things. This,
sure,
this desire to not be isolated, right? Mm-hmm. This desire to be connected to the whole of reality, okay? Now here's the thing. This desire for perfect knowledge, It's a desire for infinite knowledge, and it's manifested in our frustration with imperfect knowledge, right? So our listeners right now might be saying, Carlo, what are you thinking? What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying. They might be banging their head against the wall trying to figure out what the heck I'm saying. That would be a manifestation of their desire for infinite, unlimited knowledge, because they're recognizing the limitations of my knowledge, and they're frustrated with it. And if they're frustrated, we have to ask why. The answer is because they desire perfect, infinite, unlimited knowledge. We all know we desire perfect love, because anybody who's interacted with any human being on the face of the earth has at some point in their life encountered imperfect manifestations of love and has been frustrated with it. Amen?
Amen. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's a manifestation that we desire perfect love. And then the same line of reasoning can be applied to goodness or justice. We get frustrated with injustice, right? Sometimes righteous indignation, right? Because we desire perfect justice, beauty, the sense of home, etc. Now, the thing is this. If we have these desires for the infinite, the question is, is there a reality that can satisfy these desires for the infinite? And the answer is yes. The answer is, of course, God, who is infinite truth, love, goodness, beauty, and that perfect sense of home itself, who can ultimately satisfy these desires for the infinite. So the level four man is the man, we're going to talk a little bit more about this and maybe in our next segment, but the level four man is that man who is going to order his life in pursuit of satisfying those desires for the infinite mm-hmm. in God, through God, with God, which, keep in mind, we'll talk more about this, doesn't negate the aspects of the other levels of 1, 2, and 3, but actually subsumes them, incorporates them, orders them mm-hmm. toward level 4 and that union with God. So the level 4 man doesn't lose anything, those good pleasures with level 1, right? With the sensory pleasures and material goods, the success and the achievements, the contribution and service, all of those things are good, but they're meant to be led to level 4. So we'll talk more about that in the next segment.
Yep. So when we get on the other side of the break, we will talk about, kind of dive in a little bit more to these different levels. We're here with Carla Broussard from Catholic Answers. We're on the Lord team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, brothers. This is the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles, sitting here with my friend Adam Minahan, joined by the man, Carlo Broussard. We have been discussing the four levels of manhood, which I found to be very manly, if you ask me.
Naturally.
Naturally. I mean, it's amazing that it worked out that way. But, Carlo, I loved the things that you were saying and just how, you know, it really kind of opened... a new perspective for me, just hearing you say how, okay, because obviously you talked about level one, desiring, we have these desires, they were given to us by God, and so the fulfillment of these desires, as long as they're ordered correctly, would be a good thing, but it's only when they're ordered towards the fulfillment of, you know, having the right goal in mind, becoming that level four, you know, reaching...
Right.
Becoming a full man.
Right, that God has intended. And it's really funny, when you talk to people, a lot of times they see people who are holy like, oh, that guy must have no fun. He must have like zero fun. He must be like just a Debbie Downer everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, you know, with these levels of manliness, once you hit level 4, all it does is exponentially make level 1, level 2, and level 3 fulfilled. So
amen.
It's the exact opposite of what... people may think, that once you get to level 4, actually makes everything much better.
That's right. It allows you to enjoy the goods of 1, 2, and 3 all that much more. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you can get together in brotherhood to partake of a good beverage, right? Okay.
Right.
But you order it toward brotherhood and you order it toward the glory of God, obviously you're going to experience the pleasures of that beverage or whatever sensory pleasure you're engaging in all the more, because that's how nature orders it. We are human beings. We're rational animals. So we have these bodily desires, but when they're subsumed and incorporated into the rational dimension of us, right, of rationality, we're going to experience those bodily pleasures as nature intends us. I mean, just take sex, for example, right? When you engage in sexual activity outside of the design of nature, as nature intends it, and as we know as theists, as Christians, as God intends it, right? Because the dictates of human nature express the will of the Creator. When you engage in sexual activity outside of those boundaries, there's some pleasure there. But it pales in comparison mm-hmm. to the pleasure that one enjoys in sexual activity within those boundaries as ordained by God. That's what nature has ordered it toward, right, within the boundaries of marriage. And so, by golly, nature's going to allow us to experience the pleasure in the degree as she intends, right, mm-hmm. as Mother Nature intends it, because that's what it's meant for. And she's going to let you know when you go outside those boundaries, and the fear and the worries and the anxiety and the emotional and psychological distress that comes about when you engage in sexual activity outside of the design mm-hmm. that our Creator has created it for. So you hit the nail on the head that we get to experience those pleasures of one and two when I achieve success at my job and get an increase in pay, right? Mm-hmm. If that's not an end in and of itself, but I'm ordering it toward the good of my family and for the glory of God, well, then I'm going to enjoy that success and that achievement. And I'm not going to be stuck in what Father Spitzer used to call the comparison game.
Right.
Where you're stuck in trying to always win. And when you're stuck in trying to always win, you become self-centered, right?
Mm-hmm.
You become this narcissistic jerk, which leads to loneliness because nobody wants to hang around a narcissistic jerk. And because you're so self-centered, you're incapable of loving anybody. Nobody wants to be around somebody who can't love. So, but if we order the achievement and the success to the glory of God, to the good of the family, we're not going to get stuck in the negativity, the wallowing in that negativity of level two as an end in and of itself. And then in level three, when we're contributing and serving others for the glory of God, we don't have to worry about failing, right? Because many times when you try to serve everybody without God, you're going to develop a sense of Promethean pride. You're going to think you're the cultural hero, and everybody depends on you, and you're just setting yourself up for failure, because when you do fail, and that's all you define your happiness in terms of as a man, well, then you're going to be left with unhappiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you order it toward God, well, then you're going to experience the joy of serving others all the more. And even when you do fail in contribution and service to the good outside of yourself, you still have God as your ground, as your foundation. So the level four man enjoys all of the aspects of one, two, and three as long as they're properly ordered toward level four. And this is, you know, Adam and David, what I love about these four levels is because it gives the rationale behind the common phrase of man up. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Man up, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Man up. Well, literally, we're called by Christ to man up, to live the higher level of manhood, because he does not want us to wallow in the negativity of level one, two, and three without four. He wants us to man up to level four so that we can experience the joys of the other levels of manhood. And what's even more beautiful, guys, is in the end, in the glory, with the glorified body in the new heaven and the new earth, guess what? All of the lower levels are fulfilled. We get our bodies back, man. So we're going to have sensory pleasure to the umpth degree in the glorified body, right? We're going to have the new universe, the new creation. Material goods are going to be transformed. They won't corrupt. We'll never have to worry about losing things and them breaking down and decaying, right? We're going to have the comparative advantage over the damned, right? Because we're going to have the victory, the crown of victory. We're going to be contributing and serving others, because we'll be experiencing perfect love and fellowship with the communion of the saints, right?
Absolutely.
And then ultimately we'll experience that perfect love and being united to God.
You know, next time I hear, you're talking about a glorified body, and in my head I'm like picturing all of these weird things. Next time I hear someone refer to chocolate as divine, I'm going to be like, no, it's not, but someday.
That's right.
There, okay? It's going to be all right.
Yeah, the desire for the desire for sensory pleasures will be perfectly satisfied in that glorified body, because God has created us as a body-soul composite.
Right.
The bodily desires are essential to who we are as human beings.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that I think we can all point to see who the people who are struggling with level one and never get past level one. You can just see it even on, you know, in their day-to-day life. They're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're never, you know, because they're ordered towards not a very fulfilling end.
Sure.
I think level two, though, is very interesting, because level two being the ego comparative advantage, because I think that social media has started playing a huge role in level two. Because, like, you know, it's all about, oh, how many shares did I get? How many likes? How many friends
That's
do I have?
Right.
How many people are following me? You know.
Oh, by the way, all your listeners need to go and like my Facebook page.
See, that was just a plug for you, brother. That was it. But isn't that true, though? I mean, I think that especially our sons and daughters, as they're growing up, they're going to be affected by this quite a bit.
If someone doesn't agree with you on Facebook, it's like all hell has broken loose, and I have to stop what I'm doing to argue with this person. It's
right. It's like, stop everything, you know, honey. Somebody's wrong on the internet.
Right.
You know?
It's okay that they don't agree with you.
There is a sense. Well, it's a lack of being secure with oneself, you know, because
totally.
If somebody's disagreeing with me, well, then that reflects possibly I'm wrong, and I have to prove them that I'm not wrong and prove to myself that I'm not wrong in order that I can sleep at night, right?
Yeah.
And we have to get to a point to where we can let that stuff go and focus on what God is calling us to do right here and right now. For example, in my case, if I see something on Facebook, or even I get an email through my work email, somebody objecting to something I wrote in an article, right, or something I said on a radio show, I have to learn as a manly man, as a level 4 man, to put that crap away, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to focus on my children to know, hey, God's calling me not to argue with that, as we'd say in Louisiana, that couillon, that fool there, right? Not to argue, but to focus on my wife, to be a husband, to focus on my children, to be a father, to be present to them, to be reading to them at night after the Super Bowl football game, right?
Right,
or to be putting them into bed and not trying to haul them off to bed in time so that I can watch The Flash or The Arrow or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to be focused, that sense of the presence, at the present moment, and then know that there will be a time, an appropriate time, to engage in that battle at another time, you know?
And, you know, I think for a lot of guys listening, they might say, okay, well, you know, how do I get to level 4? And, yeah, I think it needs to be said that you don't just get there all at once. As I was reading all of this, it occurred to me that, you know, like level 1, it kind of reminds me of my toddler, you know, and as God has ordained life so that we have a natural progression and we should mature and we should grow. So you shouldn't expect to just be at level 4 just like that because you've heard this podcast. You know, it's going to take time. You're going to have to pursue these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the intention is what matters most, to become aware that, hey, I need a man up. And so what are the steps that I need to take? Well, first of all, whatever pleasure, material goods that are going to keep you away from God, whatever pleasure, material goods that may be violating the beautiful human design that God has bestowed within you, then we need to get rid of those things. If it's pornography, right? We need to get rid of the pornography, get ourselves out the situations that might be leading us to violate our design of sexuality. And ego comparative advantage, we need to try to reshift our focus of trying to achieve things, not for self, but for the good of family, for the good of God, etc., and try our best to start taking those steps to order those things to God, to establish brotherhood.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, Carlo, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. Real quick, give us your website one more time so people can get a hold of you.
CarloBrewsword.com, or they can go to Catholic.com.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it so much. Thank you for taking the time. Dave, it's been a great episode once again, bringing some Makers Mark 46, talking a little bit about lift hard, pray hard, and the 4 levels of manliness. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.